to DayFM's Last Word on Business with Capital Flow. Purchasing, refinancing or refurbishing an investment property? Visit capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider joins us with the business news. And Ian, Niall mentioned it in the 5 at 5, but for those who missed it, interesting development today in relation to sick pay that workers will be entitled to. Minimum rates been introduced by the government. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. And I think this emerged early last year at the onset of COVID-19, that there are many employees, particularly in lower paid jobs or particularly in the services sector as well, that if they had to take time off for COVID-19, they wouldn't be getting paid off their employer. And of course, if you are going to get illness benefit off the Department of Social Welfare, it does take a little bit of time before you can claim it. So Taoiseach Leo Varadkar today publishing a new bill which will bring in a mandatory sick leave pay scheme for Irish employees. And he's pointing out in this report today that just over half of employees or just over half of employers have a sick pay scheme. Obviously, the government does, and many of the larger multinationals, but he is pointing out that in some sectors it isn't that prevalent, and that they are introducing on a phased basis up to 10 days statutory sick pay, but it will be brought in over the next number of years. So we'll start off next year, you'll be entitled to 3 days, moving to 5 days the following year, then 7 days and 10 days by 2025. Now for employers out there, they'll have to fund up to 70% of an employee's pay, and the government have set a threshold, so a minimum of around €110, and the government are basing that off the mean pay of workers based on CSO employment figures. So you will get a minimum of €110, and the government are saying this is to recognise the fact that there is going to be a burden on companies out there, particularly small firms, to have to pay sick leave to employees. There may also be an additional cost of having to find and pay for workers to cover the time off that employees who are sick who are paid. So it isn't a full day's pay, but they are pointing out that it is 70% and it is based on published income data. So it is some floor out there for employees. And I suppose, Matt, the reaction to this, if you're a union out there, they are disappointed by it. We've had details in from SIP2 about their complaints about it. And if you're one of the employers out there, we've had their gripes in as well. IBEC have been pointing out that this is just one of a number of extra burdens and regulations that are coming in to affect employers in the coming years.
Can I just ask as well, is it going to be allowed on the basis of self-certification? You know, the way some people might like to pull a duvet day, or are you going to need a doctor's note?
No, that just happens in the public service, Matt.
I'm not endorsing that comment. You can stay that one on your own anyway. Any public service workers listening, just know that that was a joke and we don't actually mean it as a serious comment. Isn't that right, Ian?
That is right, Matt. And I suppose just to get back to this details published of this report today, what the department are saying is that to avail of this scheme, you are going to have a medical certificate about it and you are going to have to be with your employer for a minimum of 6 months. And if you do need to take off more than 10 days, if you are ill for more than that 10-day period by 2025, you will have to go back and apply for Department of Social Welfare benefits.
Okay. Something else I asked Nick Ferrari about briefly as well, the row between the EU and the UK, and the UK trying to renege on deals in relation to the Northern Ireland Protocol. But there was a development as well today, Politico website, suggesting that the EU was looking at a way which effectively shut Ireland out of the single market as a solution to the problem. This, although, has been dismissed. Europe has our back, or does it?
I think at this stage it's quite clear, Matt, that Europe do have our back in this. And there's been a lot of commentary, Matt. You know, the Brexit, I suppose, had the publicity around the talks taking place between Commissioner Sefcovic and David Frost in London today. There's been lots of commentary. I see the Daily Telegraph publishing an editorial by Ray Bassett, the former Irish ambassador to Canada, who is suggesting that Ireland should consider leaving the EU and perhaps the single currency on the back of the failure to get a good deal, as he would see it, between the EU and the UK. I think, Matt, what's really going to crystallise all of this is in the next couple of months, we have the ending of some of the periods, the waiver and grace periods that has made the trade between Northern Ireland and Britain not as bad as it could be. We know there was those issues that emerged at the start of the year, that some of the shelves were empty in Northern Ireland, even some of the goods that come from the UK to here in the Republic weren't making true. Now, can you only imagine what's going to happen in the next couple of months when these grace periods run out? You saw the commentary that this is all going to be about the fact that sausages from the UK can't make, or from mainland UK, can't make it into Northern Ireland. I think, Matt, we're back into that period where we were towards the end of 2019, where it will they, won't they, and will somebody back down on this? Good old saber-rattling. Good to talk about Brexit once again, isn't it?
Tell us about the investigation into Ryanair and British Airways by Britain's consumer watchdog.
Yeah, and I would imagine there'd be an awful lot of customers of Ryanair and Aer Lingus over here watching this. So the UK Competition and Markets Authority, which is its powerful consumer watchdog, have begun an investigation into whether Ryanair and British Airways try to get out of refunding customers their cash. So the Competition and Markets Authority have said that they got a number of complaints from customers that they wanted cash refunds from Ryanair and British Airways, but were instead forced to either take vouchers or to rebook flights for a later date. Now, the customers would say, look, when we went to Ryanair and British Airways looking for a refund, it wasn't because we just didn't want to go on holidays. It was because there was legislation in place during the last couple of lockdowns in the UK, which made it illegal for people to go on non-essential travel. And the Competition and Markets Authority are saying that when people book these flights in good faith, and when there is an intervention such as the government imposing a lockdown and a ban on travel, companies should refund the full value of the bookings and not try to fob people off with vouchers. Therefore, the airline gets to keep their cash, or simply booking people onto later flights, because, of course, there's no guarantee that you won't have a further lockdown in place at somewhere across Europe when people go to take these flights. Now, Ryanair has said that it does do refunds of cash to customers, but on a case-by-case basis. And it also points out that since June 2020, any customer who has needed to change a flight, they can rebook it for free. I think what the Consumer and Markets Authority are looking at is whether the two airlines knew that customers would have no choice not to travel, and instead of giving them the cash back, decided, well, look, we actually need this money and we want to hold on for it. And I think they are looking as to whether this was really unfairly treating customers who genuinely wanted their money back because they couldn't travel. And the Competition and Markets Authority, it is a very powerful British watchdog. They do tend to hand out fines by the tens of millions over there. So I think British Airways and Ryanair will be worried by this investigation.
Okay, Ian Guider, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM with our daily business update.